Hey, this is Jeff, and I've got a packed podcast for you today. This was our live show at Fretboard Brewery in Blue Ash from Monday night. Mo Egger, Stephen Offenbaker from the Reds Alert podcast, and myself sat down and talked Reds baseball, the trade deadline, and all that good stuff, and I can't wait for you to check it out. This is part one of the conversation. Once it ends, head on over to Reds Alert for part two. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to let you know that the MLB trade deadline is approaching. Yes, we all know that. But Locked On MLB, I bet you didn't know, has you covered on YouTube. The Locked On MLB YouTube channel will be streaming the trade deadline live. I'll be hosting. There'll be a couple of co-hosts each hour. 2 hours of MLB trade analysis from our lineup of local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On MLB on YouTube and tune in July 30th, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll be talking about the trade deadline. All right, let's jump into it.
You are Locked On Reds, your daily Cincinnati Reds podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out. We are doing a crossover Reds Talk podcast tonight before the Reds begin their series in Chicago, 8:05 tonight. Wade Miley on the mound tonight. The Hulk, some people call him. But I am Jeff Carr. You probably don't know me. Some people up here know me. But I am Jeff Carr, the host of the Locked On Reds podcast. I talk about the Reds each and every day, whether they win or lose. I like it more when they win. We're doing a crossover today, though, with the Reds Alert podcast, and I'll let him tell you more about that.
Aloha. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Stephen Offenbaker. I am a Hawaii-based podcast. I happen to be in town tonight. Jeff asked me to join him, and I was really excited to do that. If you haven't heard my show before, it's a weekly show. I try to bring on real interesting guests and talk Reds baseball and share a little bit about Hawaii and a little bit about the Reds. So I'm real excited to be here, and just want to thank you all for coming out tonight. And also, I'd like to introduce the talent over here at the talent table. This is Mo Egger from ESPN 1530. You all know him. He is one of the foremost smart guys on Reds baseball in the area.
Thank you very much. You all know him. Could not be used in a more loosey term. Can I just say this about the two of you? My understanding. I haven't been here before. I used to live 5 minutes away from here. I've wanted to come here since they opened, but it is a rule, at least in this part of the country, I don't know how it is over there on the Big Island, that if you're going to work at a craft brewer, you have to have a beard. You guys look like you're going to be talking about like oatmeal stouts.
Well, they do have some really good stouts.
Can I just ask a question of the folks that run this place real quick? And this is a beautiful facility. The beer is very good. When you sat down and thought, you know, we're going to put it in Blue Ash, when did across from the Ohio State Highway Patrol enter into the conversation? Here's an idea. I'm going to be able to wave at the cops as I walk to my car. Hey, right over here. Come and get me.
And now we know why the beer is so good.
It's going to be a fun conversation.
We are definitely going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Mostly Reds, also probably some beer too. We're not on a roller coaster though, so that's a good thing. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, can we talk about that?
We can talk about whatever you want.
I don't want to talk about the trade deadline anymore. I've been talking about the trade deadline since right around President's Day. Jeff Carr, none of the folks here have any real reason to listen to my radio show. I barely have a reason to listen to my radio show, but if there's, I said this to a radio executive last week, that if anything ever captured what I want the ethos of my radio show to be, Jeff Carr tweeted about 3 weeks ago that he was on a date at Kings Island, apparently because he's 15 years old. And
I like roller coasters.
I don't know why you would put that on Twitter, but he's at Kings Island while we're on the air, and I thought it would be funny to have him call the show from a roller coaster and try to offer Reds analysis as he's riding the roller coaster. And it was, as far as I was concerned, just gold. And I haven't gotten better feedback on anything other than that. So that, A, probably tells us you should be hosting the show. And but that really did kind of capture what I want the radio show to be about. And frankly, aside from that, it never really is.
I had to listen back to the podcast to see what your follow-ups were because I couldn't hear them.
Yeah, well, I could tell. That's fine. That was good. That was good.
And surprisingly, it was some of the best analysis you've ever given.
We haven't followed up on this. Were people looking at you? Were they wondering why is this guy? Were they?
I don't think so.
I was told after the fact that the park kind of frowns upon this kind of thing.
Well, I know in line I was talking to, I think I was talking to you on the phone whenever we were trying to give you an update as to, because we were in line for Orion.
Now, were you in the real line or like now? I haven't been to Kings Island in many years.
Don't pay for the fast pass.
Do you have to go and you pay the money to skip the line? What is that?
No.
Pay extra money. The fun part of Kings Island is people watching and watching them make out with each other while you're waiting in line in the heat and it's interminable, and now you can buy your way out of that?
I don't think I think the only people that do that came from like the middle of nowhere that doesn't have amusement parks, and they're like, hey, we just want to ride all the rides today.
Yeah.
Because we live close, so we didn't have to do that. But I was in line for Orion, and it was broken down, and we were given updates, and there was this couple in front of us that, after I would get off the phone, would kind of like give me side eye, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know you're in line for a roller coaster, right? Well, whenever they gave the next update over the PA system, those people left. So I think those were the only people in the park that knew I was doing anything.
I was told after the fact that Kings Island discourages this kind of thing. They don't want you talking on the phone while you're riding the rides. And I guess people lose their phones or... And so I was told this, and Kings Island now, they might be mad at you. And I said, you know, Kings Island and I have a complicated relationship because many, many years ago, like 2011 or 2012, the official Kings Island Twitter account, they were asking Kings Island trivia questions. And the one question they asked was something along the lines of, this attraction gave over 6 million rides in 1991. And I retweeted Carmen Electra. And they, like the people here, did not find that funny.
I think that was in Hanna-Barbera
land. I got unfollowed by Kings Island.
Coming up, we are going to talk about the Reds. We just had some general shenanigans to get this one started. But before we jump into that, I wanted to let you know that you can get your next auto part delivered directly to your door by rockauto.com. They've got all of the parts that your car will ever need, and they have an easy-to-use interface to help you find exactly that part. Whether you are a professional and you know exactly what brand you like, or you are just an average Joe looking for that turn signal for your everyday car, Rock Auto can help you find it. Go to rockauto.com, and in the checkout section, in the How'd You Hear About Us area, type in Locked On to let them know that your pal Jeff from the Locked On Reds podcast sent you. That's rockauto.com. And in the How'd You Hear About Us section in the checkout area, type in Locked On. Rock Auto has all of the parts that your car will ever need, and they've got reliably low prices to help you do it.
Well, before we jump into the Reds, I have something I want to follow up that you've been working on this week, and this will require a little bit of audience participation because I'm curious now. Apparently, a big topic of debate at the 700 WLW studios as well as ESPN 1530 has been a question about shower beers. And if you don't know what a shower beer is, then I'm going to have Mo explain it in a minute. But if you do, just show of hands real quick. Who drinks shower beers?
There's some folks here who haven't had a shower beer because it looks like they haven't showered.
Klosterman, by the way, pretty good shower beer.
Yeah? It's okay, on the menu. Very good, yeah.
Awesome. I don't know that you can take showers here while you're drinking it, but you can drink it here and then imagine that you're taking a shower later.
What do you need me to say something about this?
So what is the shower beer debate going on at the radio station?
It's not the most high-end concept. You're in the shower, you're drinking a beer.
So do you find it disturbing that you're the only person at the radio station that seems to be on board with this?
Yeah, so here's for those who weren't listening, and God, I can't imagine there are many who weren't. This came up on, like many things do, on social media. By the way, who's this chair for? Are we expecting another guest?
It's just if you want to switch chairs in between, you're allowed to.
Put my feet up? I didn't know.
Yes.
Is there a surprise? I mean, do we have...
There's not a surprise.
Okay.
The original intent was maybe to bring the trivia participants up, but we decided to go with a four-mic.
Oh, that's fine. I'd rather talk to them than me. So anyway, somehow it came up on social media. Somebody asked me, what are your favorite types of beers to have? Not brands, not like, you know, Fretboard. Although Fretboard would certainly make the list.
Yes.
Right.
Although not after I criticized their location across from the Ohio State Highway Patrol. it was like, you know, like ballpark beer, beach beer, boat beer, swimming pool beers, first beer of vacation, the last beer before they pull you over across the street, all these different types of beers. And I had on the list shower beer because I'm not talking about like you wake up in the morning, you know, it's quarter after six, and you bust one open instead of having a cup of coffee.
That's a different kind of beer.
That might indicate that maybe there's some issues you have to resolve.
Employee of the month.
Yeah, I'm talking about like, you know, you just got done working in the yard. You just got done cutting the grass. You've been sweating. And you go in the shower, you bust open a cold one. Or, you know, you're getting ready to have people over. You've bought a bunch of beer. You've set everything up. And now you're going to go take a shower. You get a head start. You bust one open. So that kind of beer. And so... most of the folks on social media could relate to that. Hey, I've done that before, Mo. So we were talking about it on the air, and I got done on the air, and I go back and I sit in my little cubby hole, and I'm inundated with people that I work with, that I've worked with in radio. And to me, radio, that's not like working at a bank, okay? I mean, you know, it's supposed to be fun, loving beer drinkers.
I've done that.
And
Yeah,
and so one after the other, there's people coming up to me, and I don't know if they were trying to stage an intervention, but Mo, you drink beer in the shower? Like, not every day, not in the morning, but on occasion. And it was astounding to me that there were so many people for whom this concept was almost completely foreign. So I was dismayed by that. And then I had people this weekend, and this now here to me is where it gets a little, people this weekend were sending me pictures from their shower.
Well, that could be dangerous.
And what I want to know is, like, if your wife walks in, I mean, I just know if, like, I am taking a picture of the shower as I'm getting ready to get in, my wife is going to wonder, well, who are you sending that to? So now I feel like we've opened up a little bit of a can of worms here that I don't want to be responsible for.
So you prefer those to come to your direct messages then?
Yes, that'd be great. Yeah, that would be. And the sad thing was they were all men, you know.
Well, far be it for me to endorse an OnlyFans
account. Hard-hitting Reds analysis.
Hard-hitting Reds analysis.
You're getting on
alone. We have shower beers.
Yeah, shower
in
beers
the room.
You're good to go. Very good. Awesome.
So shower beers, good. Yes. Okay. So.
And by the way, there were people who were like, well, how does it work? Does the water get in the beer? It's like, you know what? What kind of intelligence are we doing? How does it work?
I mean, it's not in a glass.
You
like,
turn
you're
the
not
shower on,
it,
you open the you beer, know. You drink it. You don't hold it underneath the, you know, the faucet. I mean, it's... This concept cannot be that...
You gotta have room in your shower for the shower beer. If you have a really small shower, probably shouldn't have a shower beer.
You know, beer's about this big. I mean, it's the size of a bottle of shampoo. It's like, you can't shampoo your hair.
Believe me, there's some small showers out there.
Okay, very good.
Some small showers. All right, so before we jump into some hard-hitting, really smart...
Ooh, I just thought of a beer really quick. I just thought... I flew with my family to Florida this year. I have a four-year-old daughter, and it was a little bit of a rough go. So I asked for a beer. I got one, and I took it in the bathroom lavatory. And the looks you get when you walk in there with a can of beer into the bathroom lavatory, priceless. Priceless.
Mo Egger, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't even know how we're going to follow up with that. All right, that's been this podcast. So before we jump into talking about the Reds, talking about what's going on this whole week, I wanted to introduce to everybody out there, we are going to be giving away beer. For trivia questions, we're going to ask a trivia question.
Am I eligible to win?
No. I mean, you can answer the question, but we'll have to give the beer to somebody else. We will give away a beer based on if you get it right.
If I get it right, can I pick someone to give the beer to?
Yes.
Because it's going to be that lady who has laughed at everything I said.
Let's do that. All right. Well, and we're going to start. We're going to ask a trivia question right now because we're kind of off the rails. So let's just keep going off the rails. Who is the Cincinnati Reds franchise leader in stolen bases?
If you know the answer, come up to the microphone.
Microphone right there. So while people are thinking and mostly Googling and
the question.
Looking at that, we will repeat it. It is, who is the Reds franchise leader in stolen bases? I'll give you a hint. He hadn't played in like a while. So while we're talking about that, this
wow.
is kind of
Boy, that really
a big
narrows it
week.
Down. Thanks.
Yeah, a while. You know, when you have a franchise that's 150 years old,
yeah.
that or narrows just, it down. Mm. That's why I thought it'd be a good hint.
Sure.
So you said don't talk about the trade deadline, but
we're going to talk about the trade deadline.
Great.
Because that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
What should they do?
Should they buy? Should they sell? Or will they be indifferent?
I mean, I think we're sitting here on Monday night. They still have four games. Their distance from where they are to first place could change drastically. I mean, I think if, first of all, I'm going to give a very long, boring answer to that question because you're not paying me, so I don't have to be concise. They are, if I'm not mistaken, 29-20 over their last 49 games, which is really good. I mean, that's almost .600 baseball. And in that time, they've gained one half game on first place. You know, even this weekend, they won 2 out of 3. For the most part, they played really well. They didn't gain any ground. Those two things illustrate how hard it's going to be to overcome a 6.5-game deficit.
Right.
And I feel like, to a degree, they're kind of stuck in the middle, where, logically speaking, it may make sense for them to not go all in. It may make sense for them to entertain offers for their established players. But how do you look at your fans and do that? I think to a large degree that they're kind of at the mercy of their own history. You know, the Chicago Cubs are sellers. They, you know, and that's, maybe they should be now, but they never should have been this past offseason. They never should have been the offseason prior to that. But at the very least, if you're a Cubs fan, you can go, well, 2016 was cool, and we made the playoffs every year for 4 or 5 straight years, and that was awesome. Or if you're the Cardinals, and the Cardinals, if you look at your fans and go, you know what, this isn't the year, we're not going to go all in. Well, by God, for the last 40 years, they've been relevant almost every single year. They've been in the World Series 4 times this century. So you have some equity to cash in. The Cincinnati Reds don't have any. So how do you look at your fans who you just dragged through a half decade of just misery? And now that they have a team that's pretty good, that does need some help, how do you look at your fans and tell them you're going to have to wait even longer? Which, if you sell, is effectively the message you're going to send. Logically, if a team says, we'll give you, you know, a huge haul of prospects or a huge haul of guys for Nick Castellanos, logically, that may be worth listening to. But then how do you come to your fans and go, hey, this Castellanos guy y'all love has helped us get within arm's length of first place? Sorry, we're going to have to trade him, and that means you're going to have to wait even longer. I don't think you can do that.
No.
I think the fact that they do have almost no recent equity to cash in, and the fact that I really kind of feel like it's still going to be just a two-team race, if it's a race at all between Cincinnati and Milwaukee, you've got to do something to enhance your chances. Now, I don't know that that's going to mean Trevor Story or Trey Turner or Craig Kimbrell or Raisel Iglesias, but I believe you have to do something that at least enhances your chances without, you know, you got to play the odds here. The odds are, even if the Reds make a trade, they're not going to win the division. So you do have to make decisions based on what's most likely and what's least likely. But whenever I hear the concept of the Reds being sellers, I come back to the pushback they're going to get from fans who don't want that. And I get it. And I share the sentiment. How do you tell your fans you have to wait even longer? I don't think you can. And if you do, you're going to get a lot of pushback that I don't think Bob Castellini wants to deal with.
And I don't want to see that either. Before we get more into trade talk,
this woman wants to answer the question.
She does.
Before I answer the question, yeah. I want to run with that. I'm the fan. Stop trading everybody. We are meshing well right now. We're playing well together. Leave it alone. Let's keep our good guys for a couple years and see how far they can go with it.
Why don't you let her sit in this blank? What's your name?
Tell us your name.
Don't need me
Patty.
Here.
Sorry?
Patty.
Patty?
Yes.
All right. So you, that's actually a pretty good take.
I like that.
We like that. And then you wanted to answer the trivia question also, yeah?
I had two, but I'm going to go with Joe Morgan.
Joe Morgan is close, but not the right answer.
All right.
Number two. Number two on the list for all-time steals.
He's number two?
Number two.
We'll have to see if my other number one
If you figure it out, come back up.
But, okay. Patty, thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, Patty.
That's kind of where we are with the Reds.
Give her a beer for the Reds analysis she provided.
Yes. Patty gets a beer. Patty gets a beer.
She had an opinion.
So here's the thing, Mo. I agree that it would be very difficult for Reds ownership to look into a camera and explain to the fans that they're trading.
That would mean Reds ownership had to show up where the cameras are.
And that's where I'm going because... Yeah. What they have demonstrated thus far in their tenure is, one, an inability to pull off a rebuild. So I don't trust them. I don't trust them to be sellers. I don't trust them to trade people away. Now, there are some pieces of this team. If you're going to be sellers, and Bob Castellini is very fond of talking about the Tampa Bay model, but the Tampa Bay model involves flipping players around year four, bringing in prospects, and keeping the thing flowing. And he doesn't have the ability to let his baseball people baseball and stay out of the way. I don't trust him. I don't think he can do it. But like you said, it would be a very hard sell to this fan base after what they've endured to trade away these prospects and trade away these core players in order for maybe winning this division. So I guess if we eliminate the possibility of a sell, if we say sell is not an option both from a PR standpoint and just from our faith in them standpoint, then if they are buyers, is it realistic to expect that they will go spend any money and take on any salary and do anything other than sit on their hands and say, we talked to the Marlins about Rojas. We talked to the Cubs about whoever it is they want to talk to them about Kimbrel. Mm-hmm. What's it going to be with them?
I tell you what, chew on that real quick. We have another attempt. Sir, tell us your name.
Dave Pemberton.
Dave Pemberton. All right, Dave, what do you think?
Without Googling, bid McPhee.
There you go. That's the answer. Big McPhee is the Cincinnati Reds franchise leader in stolen
Hall of Famer,
bases.
Bid McPhee.
Bid McPhee,
that's right.
500.
Hall of Famer.
568 steals. More importantly, the question is, will that ever be broken?
No.
Yeah, they don't steal anymore.
No, they don't steal anymore.
That's what I'm... That's
Dave Pemberton, you win a beer.
Coming up, we give our thoughts on whether or not the Reds' front office, as currently constructed, can be trusted if they were to sell. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to let you know that you can still go to betonline.ag and set up your profile with the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% added onto your initial deposit. BetOnline.ag is the only online sports book that I trust, and they've got great lines when it comes to Major League Baseball, the MLS, or all kinds of soccer going on. They've even got Olympic lines, they've got reality TV shows, all that good stuff, and NFL futures to boot. Check them out today at BetOnline.ag. Set up your profile and type in the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% added onto your initial deposit. Plus, I got another tip for you. I gave you the Reds-Cubs series yesterday. The Reds at plus 110. Of course, losing game one doesn't really help that, but I still have a good feeling about it. And today I'm looking at the line for the game. I'm not really set one way or the other on the money line because I think it's going to be interesting to see what Vladimir Gutierrez brings to the mound, but I love the over. It's 10.5. It's currently set at 10.5 at minus 110 odds. Take the over today. Vladimir Gutierrez against Adbert Alzolay and the Cubs. Over 10.5. And go to betonline.ag and set up your profile with the promo code LOCKEDON today.
You
Dave
win a beer.
Pemberton's beer.
That's
They'll
the
take
answer
care right up there
to
at the
my
bar.
One of my favorite trivia questions. The year 2000, four figures, four Cincinnati Reds figures were either inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame or won the Ford C. Frick Award. Say Tony Perez, Sparky Anderson, Marty Brenneman, and Bid McPhee.
And Bid McPhee.
Bid was not around to make a speech.
He played a long time ago,
he did.
That's where that hint came from. But yeah, no, I'm with you. And I keep breathing into the mic. When it comes to selling, this franchise has shown that they can't do that, at least as currently constructed. We're talking about guys who traded away Aroldis Chapman and got nothing, which, by the way, I'll rope that into a question as well. Trivia question for another beer. If you can tell me, one, there were four players that the Reds got If you can tell me one of the players that the Reds got from the Yankees for Aroldis Chapman, you get a beer. Because that was a debacle of a trade. The Jay Bruce trade was a debacle of the trade. None of those trades worked out. Even though on paper, whenever they happen, they look good. And we do have an attempt at an answer. I have a feeling Ken has the answer. Ken, yeah. Sorry, Ken, what's your name?
Well, what's your name, Ken?
Ken.
All right, Ken, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Tony Renda.
Tony Renda is one of the four.
Who are the other
three? Fun fact, all four of these players combined, 80 total Major League games. All four of them combined. Really, really sad.
Would you like the rest of them? Or is that a trivia?
Yeah, give me one. Yeah.
Who are the other three?
Eric Diego, Tony Renda, Rookie Davis, and Caleb Cotham.
There you go. That's it. That's all of them.
Right. Good job, Ken.
Four beers.
For Ken.
Pretty good.
All the beers to Ken. But you look at things like that, and it gives me pause. I know there's so many people that immediately after a Reds loss are like, time to sell, time to rebuild, time to blow it up. And whether or not they're right stems on the fact, can this team actually do that?
Well, I think what happens, right, wrong, or indifferent, is when people hear sell, that triggers the word rebuild.
Yeah.
And when people hear rebuild, that means, great, we're going to lose 95 games every year for 5 years. I don't think that has to be the case.
Okay.
This is a team that has a guy who's possibly going to be the National League Rookie of the Year. A guy behind him and Tyler Stevenson, who I think is going to be an all-star one day. Next year, it's conceivable that you could have, according to Keith Law, the third best prospect right now in your starting rotation. A generational talent. Another guy, Nick Lodello, who is a top 100 prospect, according to many. If you bring back Sonny Gray, a former all-star. If you bring back Wade Miley, a former all-star, having an excellent season. Tyler Mahle. If you don't trade Luis Castillo, suddenly there's like a little bit of a surplus of pitching. Jesse Winker, if you don't trade him, is an in-his-prime all-star. Like, when they went through the whole rebuild that they just, you know, dragged us through in 2014 and 15, cupboard was bare organizationally. And what was left in the wake of all those moves was a bunch of guys who were never going to be a part of the next winning Reds team. The farm system was not very good. And let's face it, they had traded away some guys who in the middle of the decade could have been helpful. Travis Wood, Yonder Alonso, guys like that, in an effort to really go all in. And it, you know, worked out to a small degree, but not to the extent that we would like. I don't think that's where the Reds are right now. I think their farm system is held in higher regard. I think there's more of a core in place right now of younger players. I didn't even mention the name Nick Senzel. I think there's still a pretty decent core worth moving forward with next year. So I guess what I would want to know is, and I don't think they're, based on their track record, I don't think they're going to sell. Because when Bob Castellini has signed off on selling, it's basically been when he's had a gun to his head and the timing has been wrong. So I don't think he's going to sell. But can you effectively sell with the idea of loading up for next year? Remember, to a degree, that's what they did with Yasiel Puig, right? They traded away a guy who they weren't going to keep and got Trevor Bauer. And that turned into a Cy Young Award-winning season last year. Is there a deal like that? I don't know that the answer is yes.
Well, and Castellanos would be your only real chip for that.
Right. But so I don't know that rebuild has to mean, oh, they're going to be a 62-win team next year. But again, at the same time, it wasn't that long ago the Reds had a 34-year low in attendance. And whether that should matter or not, that's a different conversation. But the reality is it does. In 2019, they traded Homer Bailey for four guys. They acquired Sonny Gray for two. They signed Tanner Roark. And they did all of that primarily because they had to re-energize the fan base. They had to. And it worked. At the same time, that bottoming out of attendance was not too long ago. There's a lot of Reds fans who already have a nasty taste in their mouth from what happened with the team this past offseason. And if you tell those people, hey, I know you like this team, it's been a fun summer, but it's just not in the cards. And in fact, not only are we not going to add small pieces, we're going to trade away some big ones. There's going to be a lot of pushback to that. And I think the front office is very sensitive to that. And I understand any fan who's like, dude, F this. I mean, come on, man. You're trading away Nick Castellanos? You're trading away Luis Castillo? Practically, it might make all the sense in the world. But being a fan's about emotion. And you just put fans through hell, man. Like, if you're a Reds fan, you know what that felt like. They were out of it by Memorial Day every single year. Now there's finally a team worth paying attention to. They're at least on the periphery of the pennant race, and you're going to pull the rug out from underneath them? Understand what fans are going to do if you do that. They're going to revolt, and I don't blame them for it.
Before we move on into that, I did want to mention that as we work our way through the conversation tonight, if any of you all have a question that you want to ask any of us, feel free to come up to the mic, and we will work you in as we're working through. Just come on up and give us a minute, and we'll get to you.
I would like to see the questions before they're submitted.
We'll have them text them to Steve, and he can read them. I wanted to put in one more, because I wrote a lot of trivia questions down. I just love me some trivia. But I want to do one more because I know Steve's got some too. This is the last one. This one actually kind of has a little bit to do with... Well, I almost gave away the answer. I shouldn't do that. I don't want to do that. All right. Without giving away the answer this time. In 1880, the Cincinnati Reds were expelled from the National League for two reasons. One was because they refused to stop renting out their ballpark to amateur teams on Sundays. What was the other reason? And if you know the answer to this, you get a beer. Two reasons Cincinnati Reds expelled from the National League in 1880. One was because they would not stop renting their stadiums to amateur teams on Sundays. The other is up to you. Well, it's not up to you. I know the answer, but, you know, hopefully you know the answer too.
So while you guys are pondering that, Mo, if the Reds take the, I guess maybe indifference not fair, but if they roll with what they got, do you buy into this narrative that the front office has sort of attempted to pitch that we'll get these injured players back and it'll be like we made a trade? So we've got Moose Moustakas coming back. We've got Senzel coming back. Maybe Lorenzen's coming back. Feliz is on a rehab assignment right now for the bullpen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you put him next to Garcia, then he's an upgrade.
Oh, wow.
So,
might have to hike down the Louisville to make sure I could be there in person for that.
Right. Do you buy into any of those players, you know, making that much of an impact outside of Moustakas?
If you can guarantee that they'll all be healthy and contribute, sure. But that probably won't happen. Like, we do this before every season. We talk about a team, and here's how good they're going to be, and here's all the guys they're going to have, and then what you can't factor in are injuries. And whenever somebody like me is the wet blanket, and it's like, well, but, you know, what about depth? Yeah, again, I'll go back to what they did with the bullpen this year, right? Because when they gave away Raisel Iglesias and Archie Bradley, and I tried to talk about this, and I went, you know, this doesn't strike me as what you do if you're trying to build a pennant-winning team, giving away relief pitchers. And I was patted on the head often and told, well, Mo, come on, they got Amir Garrett, and then that's going to be okay. They've got TJ Antone, and they've got Lucas Sims and Michael Lorenzen. And I would say, that's awesome, but what about contingency plans in case something goes wrong? Maybe a guy underperforms. Maybe a guy gets injured. You know, maybe any number of things can happen. Your depth is compromised. Well, what happened? Amir Garrett wasn't very good for a huge stretch. Antone's been hurt. Sims has been hurt. Lorenzen's thrown one inning. So you plan for all these guys to be good and effective and healthy, and it rarely materializes. So, you know, getting back to what you just talked about, are they better with TJ Antone, Lucas Sims, Mike Moustakas, Nick Senzel, and Michael Feliz? Yeah, sure, awesome. They're better with all those guys. Between now and then, who else gets hurt? Because a week and a half ago, it was, well, get all these guys back and add them to a team that's got Michael Lorenzen. Well, that didn't last. And then, Nick Castellanos is having an MVP caliber year, and then he got hurt. So, I certainly believe that getting those guys back helps. But your plan of action cannot simply rest with these guys are going to be healthy, they're going to stay healthy, they're going to be productive, and no one else is going to get hurt. To me, you have to supplement all that with acquisitions from the outside that make sense. Nobody wants to see the Reds make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. we'll all see right through that. But I do think you have to. I think you have to hope for best case and plan for the worst case, right? And that sounds pessimistic, but that's why we have insurance, right? You have to hope for the best case. And the best case is all those guys come back and are effective. But the worst case usually pops up. Again, a month ago, Mike Moustakas is going to Louisville. Well, that lasted 5 innings. So if the idea is our plan involves all these guys coming back and all of them staying healthy and all of them being productive, if all of it happens, yeah, this team's pretty good. What are the odds of all that happening? Not likely. That's just how it works.
And I think that's why people are so frustrated with the Reds and the way that they've ran things, is because they plan for the best and they're like, well, if the worst happens, we'll deal with it when that happens. And that's just not good planning.
Cliffhanger. I'm just messing. But that is the end of today's Locked On Reds podcast and our live podcast from Fretboard Brewery in Blue Ash on Monday night. If you want to hear the rest of it, head on over to the Reds Alert podcast. Stephen Offenbaker will have the rest of this conversation, and you can check out his podcast. He comes out once a week, and he usually has, like he said, a lot of great people on to talk. He's talked with the mother and the brother of Nick Castellanos. He's had Chris Welch on a bunch of times. He's had Mo on a bunch of times as well. You can check out the Reds Alert podcast and make sure that you're also subscribed right here to the Locked On Reds podcast. That'll do it for us today, though. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Thank you to everybody who subscribes to the podcast, both right here on your favorite podcasting app and on YouTube. We'll be back on YouTube tomorrow. We're audio only today, but we'll be back on YouTube tomorrow. Looking at how the Reds are doing in this series, hopefully we'll also have some trades to talk about, or, you know, at least some trade rumors. There haven't been any rumors here recently either. And we'll get into all of that on tomorrow's Locked On Reds podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Carr. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Carr with 3 F's and follow the show at Locked On Reds and save the Locked On Reds line number into your phone for reactions, comments, questions, whatever you've got. 513-549-0159. Now, go check out the live NBA draft show. They've got this great show on the Locked On NBA YouTube channel talking about the NBA draft, kind of breaking down how it all is going to happen. Check it out right now on the Locked On NBA YouTube channel. But that'll do it for us today. I'll talk to each and every one of you tomorrow.